Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren, and alongside me is Sarah Wells, and we are having an old school acoustic session of a Spoutcast here.
Unplugged.
And we're gonna have Kevin Tinkin on the show, but he's gonna be on the entire show.
So I'm here right now.
So if you don't like the sound of Kevin Tinkin's soothing voice, then.
Thanks for tuning into the Spoutcast.
Then I'm sorry, but he's going to be with us all day today. Megan and Jane are out this week, so we just decided, you know what? Just like when Nirvana and Green Day and all those hardcore bands that just killed it on the stage, when they took it old school and went unplugged, you know, that's kind of what we're doing. It's just us three hanging out. So okay. Is that cool, guys?
Yeah.
All right.
Can we talk in our newscaster voices?
Not today.
Jane didn't like it. Oh, apparently you don't either.
I don't.
All right, Kevin. Here we are. It's a sunny 86.
Well,
degrees.
If you heard this week's music, it was from a band called... Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
It was from a band called Thrice. And Thrice, apparently you guys think is good music, which I do too. So I feel like I'm getting 1 point from you, Kevin.
Three times a lady.
Thrice has a new album out, which I love. And I didn't buy it. I've been listening to it on Spotify. But I'm playing some old school Thrice. And they're a great band. After this kind of intro segment, we're going to do a sermon discussion on Brad's sermon yesterday about being biblically formed. Mm. We will then go into a news segment, which I'm excited about. Okay. And then we will move into our time where we actually interview Kevin, because the reason why we're doing that is because I feel like we missed out on getting to know you, Kevin. People
who
just know
is
you
as Kevin.
Yeah, we just know you as this guy who makes jokes and makes us listen to Randy Savage and stuff. So.
Yeah. I'm just going to cry for 20 minutes.
Right.
Why?
Right. And then afterwards, we will close out the show with some announcements, and we will be done. So stay tuned for some... What's it called?
Thrice.
Stay tuned for some Thrice.
Stay tuned for some... shoot. I'm going to get it this time. Stay tuned for some sermon discussion on being biblically formed, and enjoy some Thrice.
Now, that's the model, to know our Bibles, to learn, but then to live. See, it's not just about knowing. It's got to affect the way we do life. The Bible has to become a filter in which all that we are is filtered through it to determine all that we will do. Does that make sense?
All right, and that was Brad from yesterday, yesterday being Sunday, from last Sunday's sermon about being biblically formed. It is our second sermon in the Anatomy of a Disciple series. He did, what was the first one? Oh, being humbly submitted, and then moving on to biblically formed, which is the core of the Anatomy of a Disciple, and I thought it was a great, great message. What did you guys think?
Right, and it's... started out last week with kind of, it starts with your heart. Uh-huh. It starts with being submitted to God, and then it moves into your mind being biblically formed. And if you guys remember what was called the seven in the past, it used to be called biblically measured, but something that Brad had mentioned and kind of we felt as a staff as well is like the term measured feels like, well, the amount of times you read your Bible or how much you read your Bible, then your faith is measured by that.
Because, yeah, when you think of being measured, it could be an external thing, like a behavior modification.
Right.
In reality, we want it to change us from the inside out.
Right, and that's something that I deal with even sometimes with junior hires is feeling mm-hmm. like they feel guilty when they don't read their Bible or something. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, guilt's not really an effective motivator in your Christian walk. But what we want is for your life to become formed by Scripture, mm-hmm. you know. And so that was kind of that's how he set it up, I guess, and just making sure that we recognize that. And then he moved kind of into talking about how our lives need to be formed based upon what Scripture says. And he maybe read 20 Bible verses.
Yeah.
Do you remember any one of them that stood out to you?
On the spot.
Well,
I know.
Okay, I remember he was talking about when I don't know if I pulled out the verses, but no. I mean, he was talking about when Jesus was being tempted by the devil,
right.
And he quoted Deuteronomy at him,
right.
And just that the word was so hidden in his heart, he could just quote Deuteronomy. And I know that was part of the culture for the men to know the first to like five books of the Bible, but I don't know my Bible that well,
which
where I could quote much of, you know.
Was interesting because Brad said, maybe you heard this, was when he was talking about the culture and when you went to school, what you had to know,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he was talking about how as a student, you had to learn the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, and really memorize them. And so I think he said by the age 12 or something like mm-hmm. that, you had to know the first five books of the Bible mm-hmm. and really know it. You know?
Had to have it memorized.
Memorized, yeah. And so when he quotes that verse in when he's being tempted by the devil, mm-hmm. it's like that he just comes off of him like nobody's business. It's
yeah.
not like he has to think about the verse that he's memorized or anything like that. He just, that's his life. His life is formed and shaped by these verses mm-hmm. that he's memorized for years and years and years. And what's cool is like, if you kind of notice a pattern, and you'll notice it the next couple weeks as well, is that in each one of these characteristics of a disciple, Jesus is all of them. You know,
mm-hmm.
and Jesus is someone who is humbly submitted to his Father, saying, God, let your will be done and not mine. And then we also see in this one, he's once again a biblically formed man. It's not like, you know, it's like, well, I'll never know my Bible very much, or we kind of assume like I'll never become a biblically formed person. It's like, look, Jesus was a biblically formed person. The disciples were biblically formed people, and they were a bunch of screw ups as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And it's more than even just like, because I was just sitting here thinking through like, well, we should read our Bibles and then just do it. Read and then do. But it's a lot more than that. It's reading and actually like sitting in front of it and letting it penetrate you and mm-hmm. letting the Lord use it to change you. Because since all of the words of the Bible are God breathed, he could use something in Leviticus or he could use something
right.
in Hebrews to change you. And we should like, I don't sit in front of my Bible and just read it and then let God teach me. I'll like read and then journal and this is my application point and da 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 da. And I like
right.
take control over it when it's the Lord using it, you know?
Well, what was cool was, and you know, maybe we can all chime in here, but Brad kind of at the
that
end.
That means Kevin, it's your turn to talk.
No, yep. I would like to get everybody's opinion on this.
Okay.
Because Brad at one point was like, well, here's everybody can study their Bible differently. Everybody can have their devos differently or learn mm-hmm. differently. And he talked about how we have at the well what's called like the reading plan, you know. And mm-hmm. now Brad, yes, Brad does the reading plan. And that works for Brad. That functions for him. But he was saying, mm-hmm. look, why not read your Bible for 1 minute a day? Or when you're watching TV, because that's what most people do,
mm-hmm.
when you have commercials, I mean, unless you have DVR, but you know, it's like, during commercials, just put mute on and read your Bibles for those 2 minutes during the commercials,
mm-hmm.
you know, like just looking for different ways, like when and how do you read your Bible? Maybe that's a greater discussion that we could have is like, what is a way that, we read our Bible and it actually sticks? Because I remember coming here and feeling like, oh, everybody does the reading plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started doing the reading plan. I'm like, I'm lost. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Because there are months when you're going through Leviticus and you're like, this is tough. You know, and so, but you're like, I got to get through it because everybody else is doing it, and I've got to do my soap. Do you remember what soap means?
Mm.
It's like study, okay? And then O means observations, and then A means application, and P is prayer.
Oh, didn't know that.
Did you do your soap?
Did you soap up yet?
Well, I think there's a difference. I think we can get caught up because, let me restart over. Okay. So a lot of times people will say, I don't want to read my Bible every day.
Right.
I don't think a lot of people will say that, but a lot of people won't do that because they won't feel it.
Mm-hmm. I'm not feeling reading my Bible today.
Yeah. And a lot of times at the well, we talk about your time with God doesn't have to be, you know, 6:45 every day till 7:45. I do X, Y, and Z and I have my
totally.
Own meal. and then I take my omega-3. Like, a lot of people just don't work that way. And so a lot of times what I've heard Brad talk about is, you know, if you want to, you know, spend your time with God, just go walk in a park.
Right.
Or if you want to go do this and that. And I think that is good, but it's also separate from biblically formed, mm-hmm. I think.
Totally.
I think, like, if you talk to, or if you read the Old Testament, you're talking about, you know, Jesus being able to just, you know, memorize the Torah, or as a young Jewish boy having to memorize the Torah, and just the way they studied their Bibles, there wasn't a lot of emotional, I mean, I'm sure there was, but I don't think this was like, hey, guys, get out your Bibles and, you know, let's get yourself spiritually, you know, or in the right mood to start reading your Bibles. I think it was like, you better read your Bible or I'm going to smack this papyrus across your knuckles and you better memorize that stuff.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I deal with Fresno Christian kids on a weekly basis, mm-hmm. and those are kids that take Bible classes and they memorize scripture, but they don't know their Bible, you know? Were you a Fresno Christian kid?
No, I was making that face because I could hear Kevin's stomach growling.
My stomach's... We got a juicer.
so sorry.
What I'm trying to say is that sometimes we read our Bible because we're told to read our mm-hmm. Bible. And Brad didn't necessarily focus on this a lot, but it was in there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I think that's a huge thing. It's like when we're reading our Bible, we need to really let the scripture form who we are. I mean, there's the scripture or this passage where Jesus is talking to some kind of Jewish leader or people that kind of study the Bible for a living, and they're like, Jesus is standing in front of them, and these people have been reading about this guy to come, you know, mm-hmm. and Jesus is saying, no, look, I'm the guy to come. I'm the guy you've been reading mm-hmm. about and you've been studying, and yet you are so concerned with these words on a page that you forgot to believe what you actually have been reading. Mm-hmm. You yeah. know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's a huge issue in becoming biblically formed. It's not just about, it's not measured by how much you read your Bible, but it's more about being letting the Bible form you and shape you. And so for me, something that I've really felt like works for me in my study time is that instead of just reading, and what I've done is I've read and then I've taken the study Bible and go, okay, what did I not get out of this that I read initially? Mm-hmm. That didn't work, and the whole soap thing wasn't working for me. But after talking with Rick Taylor and Andrew Feil, really feeling like when I read a chapter of the Bible, I need to summarize that chapter in a sentence. And the sentence really needs to be not a run-on sentence, like mm-hmm. a simple sentence. Like, how can I explain this, what I just read, to a six-year-old, essentially? Mm-hmm. And so something that Rick even makes people do in Academy is summarize the chapter, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's something I've been doing. And maybe I summarize a chapter a day or two chapters a day, whatever I'm feeling, but it's not this regimented, like, okay, well, I got to read three chapters of the Bible every single day, you know, to get through the Bible in a year, whatever that may be. I think that we just need to figure out what works for us and do it. Mm-hmm. So maybe Sarah, chime in on what you do as far as your study time.
Well, I have tried the life journaling guide, and I cannot do that because I like to spend a lot more time in one passage than just skipping or
totally.
You know, going quickie.
Quickie.
Going quickly. So I pick a book and just kind of slowly go through it until I'm done with it. And then I usually also try to do read a proverb, because there's 31 proverbs in the book of Proverbs and 31 days in the month. Coincidence.
So in February, what do you do?
I pick the three that I don't like, and I just don't read those.
Totally.
Sounds right.
I skip Proverbs 31 and like Proverbs 7. And
those, you don't like those?
I'm just kidding.
Proverbs 31 is out.
Yeah. Get out of there. So that's pretty much what I do. And then I have other like resources that I could go to if like, absolutely, I don't know what that means. I'll go, you know, read about it, whatever.
Maybe Kevin, what about you?
I just wait till life's really horrible, and then I shout out to God, like, help me, please. And then I'll just randomly feather to an area in the Bible, and I'll start reading. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Where are you, God? No.
Totally. I guarantee you that is most people in the world.
You just flip. You're just like, you know, something horrible happens to you. You turn to Numbers. And you're like, God doesn't exist. Yeah. You're like,
I'm reading. Look, God, I'm reading. Where's the answer? Yeah. I'm reading now.
I think my consistency does vary based on life circumstance.
Totally.
Typically I have a partner that I'll read with. Mm-hmm. So if I read something, I'll like, you know, I told my wife the other day, say, I read Psalms X, and why don't you read along with me and whatnot, and we'll talk about it tonight. I wrote her a letter and things, and a lot of times that's a good excuse, because if the person that I say read, tell, hey, I'm reading this. Should you read it too? And then we'll talk about it. If they don't read it, I'm like, well, I guess I'm good for another week until they come back. But I will read through, I'll read through books of the Bible. I don't know why Matthew always seems to come up.
That's great.
That's so funny. People have their books that they just kind of gravitate towards. I'm always just find myself in Galatians.
Yeah.
I just kind of like, oh, look, here I am again. Not sure why.
Go eat popcorn.
Go eat popcorn. That is
the right. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians.
Got it.
I was a Fresno Christian kid.
Oh.
But yeah, no, I've gone through Matthew seven times and or several times, and it's
seven been, times and counting.
Seven times seven. It's one of those books that I kind of will go back to if I'm not emotionally motivated to open my Bible, because I do feel like there will be certain things that will absolutely pop out to me that are new, and I can reference to it because I can remember the last time I read it, because I have just like a bunch of notes in there and things like that. But I do a lot of journaling. I tend to read very short amounts, and then I'll write a lot. And my
I do that.
Yeah. My writing is just like, it's literally just word vomit.
Totally.
I don't know. Why am I writing this? I just feel like I need to write, so I'm going to write. And then I literally am writing that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then usually I'll pray the same way, just randomly blabbing on.
Right, and I think one of the things that Brad was trying to get at was like whatever that may be in your life, however you study your Bible, however you read your Bible, make sure you're doing it so that it's forming your life and it's not just something that you feel like you need to do as a Christian, you know? And I feel like that was the big takeaway for me, especially is like, make sure the scriptures that I'm reading, I'm allowing them to kind of fuse into my life and really begin to change the way I live my life. That way, when I'm faced with kind of morally discerning decisions, which he'll get to or whatever, or different relationally healthy things, I know scripture in my mind and I know what's right. And I know not a right and wrong or a do and a don't, but it's like, look, this is what scripture says. And if I believe in Christ and I want to be a disciple, I need to live by what scripture says. And I need to let that begin to form who I am and kind of let my mind shape around that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It seems like in I don't want to say Western Christianity, but it seems like what the Christianity that I'm used to is so formed around unintentionality and emotions and things like that. And it's I know, for example, when I'm trying to watch what I eat, if I'm not conscious and intentional about what I'm eating, then I just eat junk all the time. And I think when you're intentional about reading your Bible, what it creates an intentionality in your life for that day or for those next few hours. And I think just that consciousness is, you know, when they talk about the renewing of your mind and being transformed, and I think it's intentionality that it is. And that's why a lot of times people will try to find that, you know, you need to do this or you need to do this to read your Bible. I think if you're trying to do something, I think you're getting it.
Right.
And I don't want to say that because I don't want to say that fully, because somebody would be like, well, what I do is I get up in the morning and I put ketchup in my slippers. And then that's how I do it. Well, he said I'm trying. Like, obviously, there's a litmus test for craziness. But I think if people are intentional about reading their Bible and doing those things and having that counsel outside, and as we get to the further rings, they'll talk about
totally.
It. You know, somebody can tell you shouldn't put ketchup in your shoes before you try to read your Bible. It doesn't make any sense. we'll get to those rings in the future.
Right. What were we going to say, Sarah?
Well, and I don't know about you guys, but I went through a phase where I thought like, well, I should only read my Bible if I really desire to read my Bible, because I don't want to do anything out of legalization, you know? So legalization?
Are you whitewashed? You're whitewashed too. That's
yeah. GR. So I'm only going to read it when I feel the desire to. So when does that happen?
Yeah.
Like once a month or something? So I had to tell me, no, Sarah, you read the Bible because God deserves to be heard. And God's the creator of the universe. And those are his words. And he deserves all of my attention. So even when I don't feel like it, I'm going to make myself read, because I never regret reading, but I would regret not reading.
Right. Yeah. I remember something I said in the sermon I gave this past summer is that, and this is something I heard from somebody else, was the Bible is God's way of talking to us, and prayer is our way of talking to God. And so it's just like just a cool reminder in that as well, Sarah. Yeah. So that's a good kind of place to close. We will have some more Thrice, and up next we will do some news with just the three of us, acoustic style. So is that cool?
Hey, right. Well, real quick before we close, maybe some people send in some emails or whatever about what they're doing.
Yeah, that might be good.
What an idea, Kevin.
I challenge you.
If you're out there listening, let other listeners know, and we'll read them during next week's segment. Hey, what are you doing as far as how you become biblically formed? What are you doing in your kind of time with God?
I'm actually like really curious like what works for other people, because it is so different for everyone.
Totally. I mean, my wife is so much different than me, and it's just like, it's just how we study our words. So.
I want to steal other people's methods. That's
right.
Why I
absolutely.
Yeah. So please write in.
Spoutpodcast@gmail.com. And up next, we've got some news.
City clutching useless. The keys for doors that don't exist. I crack my teeth on pearls. I tear into the history. Show me what it means to me in this world. Yeah, in this world. 'Cause I am due for a miracle. I'm waiting for a sign. And I'll stand.
And now the news with Kevin, Christian, Sarah, and Megan.
All right, guys, got some news for you. Kevin, glad to have you once again. You're just sprinkled throughout the whole show.
Are we going to say thanks for coming like every segment?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming, Kevin.
You're welcome. Kevin. Kayvon.
Speaking of sprinkled.
Oh, wait, I have to do this first. Okay. Before I forget. Okay. So Stephen Potter, last week you had said something about
nicknames. Won a t-shirt.
He did win a t-shirt.
Right.
But somebody, like I said, my buddy who I played drums for used to call me Kayvon Jones.
Right.
And I said that I actually gave that to Stephen Potter.
Right.
And Stephen he wanted to correct me because the reason that I call him Jerry is because I'm a horrible person. To preface, and I said he was playing, and I was playing, and I'm yelling at him, Andrew, hey, Andrew, and Andrew, and he looks at me, and I like yell right at his face, and hey, can you do like when you're in the bass line that's coming up? I want you to. And he's like, are you talking to me? I'm like, yeah. He's like, my name's Steven. I was like, yeah, come on, Jerry. Let's do this. And it was my way of like lessening the fact that I'm a moron.
And you forgot him.
And so now
how long ago was this? Like when you guys first started playing?
Yes. But it was long enough that I should have known his name better than just going, Andrew. And then after that, it gets worse because even beyond that, I thought, oh, it's because his brother's name's Andrew.
No. But
he doesn't have a brother named Andrew.
Nope, not at all.
That's me telling on myself.
With junior hires, I don't know their names. And if a junior hire is listening, which I don't think they do, I just go, hey, guy.
Hey, sport.
Yeah. Sup, dude.
Word up.
Yeah.
Brother.
Jeremiah has this great way. I don't know if he would admit to this, but Jeremiah has this great way of like, if he doesn't know their name, he'll just go, hey, remind me of your name again. And they'll say like Andrew. And he'll go, oh, yeah, that's right. But he wouldn't know their name in the first place. Yeah. Like, he doesn't know their name. He's never asked them their name. Maybe it's their first time ever being there, but he'll go, hey, remind me of your name again.
Okay.
So that's a good way to do it as well.
Yes.
I got some news here, Kevin.
Yes.
And
let's talk about ways we try to figure out people's names.
No.
Because there's some people who do the, like, hey, how do you spell your name again?
Oh, I do that. That's my thing.
Kim, K-I-M.
Oh!
There's not a Y in there.
I didn't know there was a second. I thought there was a second M for some reason.
Yeah, yeah, so. Or then you try to bring someone else in. Hey, guy, this is Kevin.
Yeah, no.
And you just hope they introduce themselves.
Yeah,
right. Uh-huh. Yep. Done that
my good
well.
Friend Kevin, how do you want to introduce you? And they're like, hey, nice to meet you. And then you're going, they didn't say their name. And then you just stalk them at work, hoping they're wearing a name tag. They work in an office building and don't wear a name tag. You're like, no. Before you know it, you're hacking into the DMV system with their license plate number.
Well, I don't know if we go that far, Kevin.
Yeah,
all right.
Kevin would.
You're probably right. I would never.
Hey, give us
right,
some
let me,
news.
Let me get into some news stories here.
I apologize.
Drop some knowledge on us.
Now, speaking of dropping, okay?
Oh, I don't.
Have you guys heard of the chip, everybody's favorite chip, Doritos?
Yes. Have you heard of Doritos? Yes.
I don't know if you guys knew this, but the kind of the founder of Doritos, he passed away
recently.
Yes. And Just one of, he was the creator of Doritos, and he passed away. And at his gravesite service, Doritos are to be sprinkled over the grave of the creator.
Did they just put one Dorito in and then crush it?
Apparently, it's going to be all over the place. He's a Frito-Lay marketing executive, and he's going to have all types of Frito-Lay's chips along with Doritos sprinkled all over the top of his grave.
Kind of weird. But you know, to each their own. Okay, do you remember a couple of years ago, or how you know how the Doritos, like, people can make their own commercials and send them in?
Both Kevin and I did one.
That is correct. I've seen it. A couple years ago, there was one about a guy who faked his death so he could have all the Doritos that he wants in his casket at his funeral. And then
that's right, I remember that.
And then it like fell over, and then all the Doritos came spilling out. That was my brother's friends. They made that commercial.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I know. And I think they won something. I don't know.
I hope so. It was good.
Yeah. So I feel like Doritos, one, are going to get eaten. And if you're a guy who dies,
like in
they're just going to eat by birds and whatnot. But if you die, you obviously don't have the choice to what your gravesite looks like or whatever. But I just think if I died, I probably wouldn't want like the thing that I created sprinkled over me, like Doritos. It doesn't.
Did he, or those his requests? Like, did he know
no,
he was going to die?
No, these were not
die?
His requests. Maybe. According to Les' daughter, Jaina Hacker of Allen Hacker, her father was a Frito-Lay marketing executive when he pitched the idea for Doritos after... No. So, yeah, he just pitched the idea for Doritos. He did not pitch the idea for it being sprinkled over his grave. So, I feel really bad.
Well, I hope that that's what he would have wanted.
I don't know what's going to happen. I'm an organ donor. So, like, there's... Like, you know, and then they talk about, you know, what's going to happen when Jesus comes back. Like, what's going to happen? Is, like, my heart going to pop out of some other dude's chest?
Let's just put it this way. If you die, Kevin... I will sprinkle nacho cheese.
Maybe that
sauce
should be the one and why. What would you have sprinkled?
What would you have sprinkled over your grave? That's horrible.
No,
I guess it's.
And yeah, maybe it's horrible. It's, maybe
speaking,
we should just delete this part.
Speaking of organs, and go for it.
Nope.
Go for it.
Nope.
Speaking of organs and letters that start with O, are you guys familiar with Oprah?
Octopus, oxygen.
Great transition, though, right?
Fantastic.
Right, totally.
Harpo.
Okay.
Orpa.
I need to read this story because it's hard to summarize, okay? But the title is Man Beats Himself Up, Says Was Mugged for Oprah Tickets. And I feel like this is a story that Kevin could do some
relate
good,
to.
A good 5-minute set on, all right? So a man who beat himself up and then pretended that he had been mugged and his tickets for Oprah's farewell celebration were stolen pleaded guilty for disorderly conduct, okay? Basically, what ended up happening is this guy, Robert, I won't say his last name in case he's listening.
Sure.
Was taken to Stronger Hospital at the time after reporting that two people beat him up before stealing his passes to a star-studded show at the United Center. But hours later, police said that Spearing changed his story, admitting that he had been attacked and concocted the story so he didn't disappoint his wife because they had traveled from Ontario without tickets. So essentially he said, oh yeah, babe, I got tickets to the show, and he didn't get them. So he faked his own beating up, and then he said somebody stole my tickets, hoping that somebody would give him tickets.
Oh my gosh, that's a Modern Family episode right there.
That's amazing. And you know that he blames his wife. Like, yeah. At some point, she'll be like,
babe, you pressured me. You expected me to get the tickets, and I felt bad.
He'll like, come home, and she's like, babe, did you get the blue cheese? He's like, yeah. Is it Hidden Valley? He's like, no, I beat myself up for you. You're so picky.
I bet you that happens on a weekly basis.
Yeah. By the way, do you ever get in trouble because you don't get Hidden Valley?
We don't really buy ranch dressing, but I will say that back
in
the day.
But you have gotten in trouble?
I have not gotten in trouble. Okay. I've actually gotten frustrated because it wasn't Hidden Valley. I'm like, what is this off-brand? Sunny Select.
Your wife's the one who got in trouble because you are picky with your ranch.
I think it was just an internal monologue.
I'm just wondering, Kevin, if you, let's just say, like, what's something your wife's into? Like, really loves. Like, she's a big Bon Jovi fan. Bruce Springsteen.
No, she's really into interior design.
Okay, so who's like a big interior designer? Like, does she like?
Let's make one up.
I don't know.
Say the guy that says make it happen.
But let's just say you told your wife for your anniversary you were going to take her to some concert, right? And then
make it work. That's
and then you ended up not providing the tickets. Would you beat yourself up to get the tickets?
I would emotionally. but probably not physically
beat yourself up.
I don't. How did this just? This guy. I mean, he sounds like a really good husband. To be honest,
no. He really loves his wife.
He's like,
he shouldn't have lied.
Yeah, I just see him in the hospital with like a black eye and like his knuckles all busted, and like there's nothing on his back. You know, like there's no bruises on his back. Like, you know, just be like, ah. They came out. There's these, five guys. Yeah, it was these five guys. And they beat me up with old textbooks. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it. Yeah, yeah. And they took my wristwatch and my Oprah tickets. Yeah, yeah. They took my Oprah tickets
not
too.
Not my wallet, but my Oprah tickets.
Yeah, and he just starts crying.
Well, I feel like it. Do you remember the movie Mr. Deeds?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you remember that scene in Mr. Deeds where he beats that guy up, but she's working for her because she's trying to get to know this guy? Come on.
This is the second time you've referenced Mr. Deeds on
it's a great
show.
Film. Deedsy.
No, that's a movie, not a film.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I got one more story to maybe close us out here. But one of our fans, her name is Sarah Roby, who's been a guest on the show.
Yes, previously. She has.
Not really sure if she listens anymore, but it's
she
like
does.
Neither here nor there.
She just hasn't written in.
That's all right. But I did see on her Twitter that a skunk got into her house. Mm-hmm. And I just read this story. It's a brief story. But basically, a couple in Florida went on vacation for 10 days or for 7 days and came back to find 10 skunks that were living inside of their house. They had left a window cracked open.
Whoops.
And skunks were all over the place. And they didn't have enough money to call animal control to get them out of the house. Mm-hmm. So they were just kind of like, guess we're going to let the skunks live with us until they leave. But then they had a buddy who came in and kind of took them out of there. But
wow,
brings up maybe a greater issue. Have you ever been sprayed by a skunk or have you ever dealt with this? You have.
Get out of here.
I have not been sprayed, but we did have first. Okay, let me start over.
Okay.
Me and my roommates, there's five of us. We lived out at Copper and Armstrong out in the middle of nowhere. And our house was called the Chick Farm because there was just a bunch of girls living in a random farmhouse.
Totally.
Anyway, so we walked totally. In one
you,
day.
Hey, man, you going to the Chick Farm tonight?
Chick Farm there?
Hey, there was a possum that had snuck into our house. Okay. And it was disgusting.
Possums
and
are gross.
We tried to shoo it out, but it hissed at us. So we just let it be and it left itself. The next day we found a skunk in our house. Went in through the same way. And
what the heck?
We also just let it be, and then it also left itself.
There's any foxes in the hen house? Oh, yeah.
It was in the chick house.
Oh, sorry.
The chick farm.
Right? No? Wrong?
No, I get it. I don't know. Like, there's just a lot of jokes we could make about that.
Dave Johnson's losing it in the sound booth. It makes me feel so good.
Dave's been to the chick farm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Dave's a frequent to the chick farm. So
yeah, it was many years ago.
All right.
And
totally.
Then we moved out of the chick farm and we moved into another house.
Is that your
the
excuse
house.
For everything? Oh, it was back in my college days. Is that what you say?
No.
All right.
No.
Well,
how many people were living there?
Five.
Wow.
Months, yeah. And many of them actually go to the well. So you actually probably know most of the girls that were living there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I do. Because I was a frequent at the chick farm.
No,
so.
You This was like 5 years ago.
I didn't even live out here. Well, we can close the news segment up, but Kevin, thanks again for stopping by.
Oh, hey, no problem. I'll see you in 5 seconds.
I'll see you in a couple seconds. But we got some thrice, and then we're going to have a really in-depth interview with Kevin Tinkin, and he's just going to spill his heart and blood all over the place.
I wish
so.
Our one and why could have been a question for Kevin Tinkin, and I bet people would have like sent in questions the way we would want us to ask Kevin Tinkin.
I'll ask some questions.
Well,
I'll get
obviously.
To the heart of who Kevin Tinkin truly is. So up next is that. Enjoy some more thrice.
Late night breaks, I hear the tires squeal. Red light can't stop, so I spin the wheel. My world goes black before I feel an angel lift me up. And I open bloodshot eyes into fluorescent white. Flip the siren, hit the lights. Close the doors and I am gone. Now I'm the hero in my life to a stranger, and I realize that empty words are not enough. I'm left here with the question of just what if I to show accept the promises I never kept.
All right, we are back here, and we really want to get to know the real Kevin Tinkin, because I remember having a conversation many months ago, Kevin, and you were just saying to me, you're like, I can't be serious, Christian. I'm not a serious guy. Like, everything's got to be a joke to me.
What?
You don't remember this conversation?
Was he sleep talking?
I said,
that is not true. You're a serious guy. And we've had many serious conversations. You've been involved in the sermon discussion guide. And many people think Kevin's just a jokester, but we really want to get to know Who are you really?
I have something to say really quick.
Okay.
Yes.
I was talking to Jane Fawcett today and Fancy Feet Jane, and we were talking about you being on the show, and we were saying how funny you are, and she goes, you know what? But there's a serious side to Kevin too. He's not just jokes. He actually he has some great things to say during the sermon discussion. So isn't that great?
That is great. Thank you.
I think it's
Thank
great.
Thank you, Jane.
Yeah.
That's why we have you on the show, Kevin.
Yeah. You get raised in a particular way and life happens and, you develop your defense mechanisms. You find out what works. So, my psychology major coming out there. But yeah, I've always been a goofball, and just making people laugh makes me feel good.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No,
now feels right. Something that maybe a lot of our audience members know or don't know is that, okay, you're married and you have two kids. Maybe give us a bit of a family history for the Tinkins.
Jennifer Tinkin. her maiden name was Johnson, Jennifer Johnson. I just call her J Joe, which doesn't make any sense.
All right.
We have two kids. Anne, who is she's gonna be two here pretty soon. March.
She was the one that Megan locked in the closet.
Yes.
Okay.
And Will's 3.5. And Jenny and I have been married for 7 years. It'll be 8 years in May.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kevin,
you have been a member of the Well Community Church basically since day one,
inception.
Really? Yes. So since day one.
Yes.
So you started at in Brad's living room, essentially.
I was born in Fresno.
Okay.
And my family's always gone to Northwest. We went to Northwest really heavily involved. My dad was a deacon over there.
Okay.
Was actually up until recently was. The missions director over at Northwest.
Okay.
And so I grew up going to that church, had a blast. And then when college came, Brad was going to be the pastor. We were waiting for this guy from Texas who was previously a high school pastor, who was Brad.
Right.
And who was, he'll tell you better. He's a goofball and absolutely just like ball of energy.
Right.
But anyway, Matt Heinrichsey was the college pastor at that time, which was called The Remnant.
Okay.
And then Brad came, and he had some influences from, Denton Theological Seminary and what was going on at Denton, so we changed it to College Life. And then they launched the Church Within a Church, so we were going to be kind of College Life, and then we would have our own services because people's mothers and kids were coming, and so it wasn't just college kids.
Right.
And then the Church Within a Church got launched out. I'm going to do finger quotes on that one, to the Well. And I think we were calling it the Well before we launched out. I think we were the Well when we were in the gym, but yeah, I was there through all that.
How many people started at the Well?
We filled this little chapel, which was, I don't know. Brad's going to have better numbers. Yeah. It's probably like 50 ish, maybe lower. It was College Life. But yeah.
And you've been a part of it ever since.
Yeah.
Wow. And most people, if you don't know Kevin Tinkin, he's in most of our buckets. He's in every bucket, actually.
Yes.
Did you know that I was in a bucket one time and then my part got cut?
Really?
Yeah. Very first bucket ever made. I was in it and then they cut it.
That's sad.
And it was funny. So
the very first bucket ever made?
This is like episode zero. Like
the pilot.
And I was in the pilot and got cut.
You didn't make it. Well, I'll tell you that like 90% of what I do get.
That was back when you sat at the desk.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So, Kevin, you also play drums at the Well, and you are in Lacey's band. And just so you know, Lacey loves playing music with that whole band. But when you play drums, she's like, I'm comfortable.
Because she's awesome.
You lighten the mood a little bit, she said, and it's just more of a, this is fun. Worship should not be this tense, like, we got to create this amazing worship environment. No, worship should be fun. We're worshiping God, and Kevin and everybody else in the band makes it a good experience and good time, you know?
Worship is hard. Worship is hard. It's hard for me. Mentally and emotionally, because I think there's a constant tension between, bringing your best to God. I'm going to get closer to the microphone here. You want to bring your best to God. You don't want to bring your mediocre stuff to God.
Right.
So what does that look like when you're playing drums in a church for worship? Because people have their, prejudices towards drums in general. There's old ladies who are like, organ, Jesus played the organ, and that's all there should be in the church, okay?
And then there's other people who go, the organ is played by the devil. You shouldn't even have an organ. It should be all harps and vocals. And so, like, me playing drums, like, do I bring my best? Does that mean I work on some sweet licks and try to bring that stuff out? Well, I don't want to do too much because it's going to be distracting.
Yeah.
So it's like this, like, constant, my subconscious coming out and my self-esteem getting affected, or I don't know what it is. I'm always kind of self-monitoring.
I've said this to you before, but I think you're a talented drummer, number one, but I think you're a drummer that has some of the best fills I've ever heard. Like, you are, that's your specialty. Would you say that's your specialty? Or you work on fills a lot, or?
Yeah, I mean, I work on licks.
Yeah.
Some hot licks.
I mean, you're obviously good with keeping a beat and whatnot, but anytime there's a fill in a song, especially like with everything, I remember the first time I heard that and you did this killer fill and I just dropped to the floor. I was like,
hallelujah. Testify.
Now, Kevin, you also, where do you work? Kind of to bring everybody up to speed with that.
Yeah, I work at T-Mobile. I'm a manager for T-Mobile in Fig Garden Village.
Did you guys get like termites or something recently?
No. I was not part of that.
Well, that was another store
you
around there?
You didn't plant the termites?
No.
Didn't like Cold Stone and all those companies get termites?
Yes, but we're actually north of Fig Garden Village. We're behind Chipotle.
Okay.
So whatever was affected by that, luckily we didn't get affected by it.
You weren't a part of that. And do you enjoy that, or it's like it's just work, or what?
I enjoy it. There's things that I enjoy more than other things.
Right.
T-Mobile, it's a customer service industry, so right. You have to think about, you're selling the highest level of technology to everybody on every level of intelligence and finances and everything. And I've got to lead a team of, you know, a lot of college students and stuff like that who, you know, this isn't their number one priority.
Right.
So you get, you know, some 75-year-old lady who's like, my phone doesn't work. And then you're like, hey, ma'am, great day. Let me take a look for it. Go ahead and have a seat. You know, and she just like hates you with her eyes.
Well, I think the first thing is that 75-year-old women shouldn't be given sidekicks because,
hey, you got to right fit. You got to right fit the customer.
Right. Totally.
Know? But then a lot of times the phone's just not turned on, and then it's just you get to see people at their best. You get to see people at their worst.
Right.
A lot of the time. So, you know, you have to definitely stay positive and make sure your environment's positive and stuff. And that can be a challenge when you're not having the best day in the world and somebody comes and complains about, you know, why is there an extra 10 cents on my bill? Well, you text messaged somebody. No, I didn't. Okay.
Now, I know that this is a job that you do 40 hours a week or essentially around that much. And but, Kevin, something that I think is cool outside of this job is you're involved heavily in a lot of things at the Well. I know you like to do a lot of different things outside of, like, T-Mobile's obviously not your passion. You have a lot of passions outside of your work. Yeah. And so I thought it would be just a good idea to just talk about our one and whys and kind of what's our favorite thing we like to do outside of work besides kind of what we do 40 hours a week. You know what I mean? And so what's our favorite thing that we enjoy doing outside of our work environment? Is that
maybe
fair?
A passion that we have. Yeah.
Mm. Is that fair?
Yeah.
So why don't you hit us up with something you enjoy doing outside of work?
Okay. So my buddy Daryl always makes fun of me because I just get, he says, like, he gets bummed out because I'll get into something new and he like won't necessarily be into it. Like, I bought him an old motorcycle.
Right.
He's like, I don't have an old motorcycle. Now you're going to spend all your time on this motorcycle and we're not going to hang out anymore. And
he sounds is he like your best bud?
He's one of my best buds. But yeah,
Daryl's a great guy.
My favorite thing to do outside of if I can be even more general than the general thing is I love hanging out with people. I have a gathering at least once a week with I'll invite a bunch of dudes, no girls. Sorry, Sarah. Usually,
yeah, whatever.
Guess you're not going to the chick farm then.
I'm gonna hang out in the chick farm.
Yeah, I know. I love getting together with guys. We'll literally sit on the back porch and just like hang out for 4 or 5 hours and just talk. Which seems, I know, stereotypically male, that we would just sit and talk. But that has been really good for me. And I think it's, you know, glorifying to God or otherwise, just having a good group of friends that you can just talk about life with,
totally.
Mostly laugh with and just joke around with. And it's a nice escape. And it's good to develop those relationships. If you go to Nekniet.com, which is Tinkin spelled backwards, Nekniet.com, which is Tinkin is T-I-E-N-K-E-N. It's backwards from that. So it's all funky. It has all my interests, and it's disgusting because I have like a little sidebar that has all the things that I'm into, and it's just It's really long.
That's fair.
I didn't even know you had a website.
I have a website.
Necniac. Come on, everybody knows
that. Everybody knows that. That's
I
also
too have a website.
You don't update it, though.
It's called chickfarm.com.
Oh, God.
Do not go to that website.
No, do not.
Who knows that is?
All right, Sarah, what is your one and why? What's something you like to do outside of work? You obviously work at the Well, but what's something you like to do outside of that?
Well, I'm very blessed to have the job that I do because I get to do a lot of my passions at work. So I get to hang out with people, talk about the Lord, and do admin stuff, which those are all big passions of mine. So outside of work, because as you're talking about hanging out with people, I was thinking, well, I like that too, but it's not what I was going to say. Yeah. So I get to do that for work. So
I am so jealous, by the way.
It's a great job.
That's pretty awesome.
It is a great job. So one of my favorite things to do, if you are close friends with me or an acquaintance of me, I probably talked to you about it. I enjoy kickboxing a lot. And I was just given a kickboxing bag for my birthday from the one and only Megan Jade Reed Miller. So it is currently hanging up in my garage right now. I've yet to figure out the best way to use it.
I think you just
I know, but I want to do it so I'm not going to hurt myself, and I want to utilize the bag as well as I can.
So are you into things like MMA and things like that, or
I just go to kickboxing classes.
Okay.
And I love it. It's on my bucket list to be a kickboxing instructor one day.
With all the jogging you've been doing lately, you're liable to kick that sandbag right off the stud.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Well, for me, and pardon me if I get a little emotional here, guys.
Oh, wow.
Because,
I can't wait.
For me, I actually thought a lot about this, and I thought about what is something that I enjoy doing outside of work, not what is something that makes me relax, what is something that is healthy for me spiritually, or all of the above, because yes, I do enjoy going to movies. I love movies. But that helps me relax. If something else helped me relax, I probably wouldn't go see movies. You know, I probably wouldn't have the same passion for it. Or I enjoy hanging out with friends or guys and whatnot. But as I thought more and more about this, something that outside of work that I enjoy more than anything else, and this is why I do it, and I'm is an absolutely serious thing, is I really love doing the Spoutcast. And for me, this is and Kevin, I know you felt this before, but I've just felt like for the last probably 18 till now, 24, I just felt like I have no creative outlet. I think I'm a creative person. I think I'm somebody who has something to say, and I've tried blogs. I've tried all of the above, and it's just for me, nothing feels more satisfying than sitting in here and just talking with people and talking about whatever that may be. And some episodes are bad, some episodes are great, but I truly love the Spoutcast, and I love it because I'm able to use my creative side. And I when I was younger, I wanted to be a stand-up comedian, and just for me, I'm obviously not one, and I'm not as funny as Kevin.
A little bit of
but
stand-up.
The only reason why I ever wanted to do that was because it was a creative outlet for me. It allowed me to express myself in a certain way. And so I love the Spoutcast. I express myself. It's creative outlet, and it's something I love doing. And this is not work to me. It never feels like work. And it just feels like I look forward to every Monday that we do the Spoutcast. So just thought I'd share that here on the show.
That's great.
I'm not kidding. Before I said that, my eyes got a little watery, but you guys couldn't see
it. Hey dude, I understand. I think that's why I move from thing to thing.
Right.
So often, and I, just to share those, I do a podcast. I'm sure you'll find it. It's out there, but it'll be out there. And the reason I don't typically talk about a lot of the things that I do, because a lot of stuff that I do for church is, I know God gave me some giftings,
right?
You know what I mean? Just like God gave the two of you some giftings, and for me, when it's comedy, and it's that humor aspect, I think, quickness and wittiness has a lot to do with it. And that will flow from who you are,
right,
and come out. And I'm very self-conscious about myself, all the time. It's not a good thing, but it can be a good thing. But, I do a podcast also. Mm-hmm. And on the podcast, I told my buddies, hey, I want to do this podcast, and I don't want to be self-conscious the whole time. Mm-hmm. I don't want to constantly have to censor myself. I don't want to all do this stuff. But I not only that, but I also want it to be okay for my grandma to listen to,
right?
Or my dad. I want it to be something that I'm proud to say, hey, I do this podcast. Come check it out.
Right.
And and that's like all the stuff that I do outside of, you know, even inside of church, outside of church, all the stuff that I do, I'm always so self-conscious of that thing. And, you know, the reason I'm kind of sharing this is one of the things that I'm really trying to grasp onto. And I don't know if anybody's out there like this, or you see me think, you know, I'm just this goofball or whatever. And I just, you know, every day.
Right.
That self-consciousness is been a bad thing, and having creative outlets to it have alleviated that. But I think ultimately what I'm trying to do is find my identity in Christ and rest in my identity in Christ. And hopefully the more I can do that, the more I can be a complete moron. And this is, I will wrap it up. I will be a kind of like, just be able to be myself and be a goofball and be right. funny and not constantly have to like self-monitor. Oh, don't say that. Oh, the people from the church are going to see that.
Right.
Or, oh, work's going to see that. You better not say that. Don't say that. And it just, it can be crazy. But
I totally agree with you. And I mean, that's part of the reason why I do this podcast, you know, so. We're just having a moment here. We really are.
Guys. I know. My relational cup overfloweth.
Now, something that Sarah thought would be funny, just even.
No,
yes?
I want to change it.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, we were going to have a one and why. I'm going to save that for another day. But as Christian is talking about, and as Kevin's talking about, like what you guys love to do, I think it'd be really cool to hear from everyone. If you could do one thing, like one job for the rest of your life, and you don't have any limitations of money, location, education, but if you could do just your dream occupation, what would it be? Oh, and there's no limits.
It's on.
No for next week?
Yeah,
for next week. It has to be. It can't be like supernatural.
So that's our one and why for next week. Sorry.
It can't be supernatural.
It can't be supernatural. Like I would fly with my hands.
So it
forever.
Has to be a job that actually exists.
Yeah. I mean, you can kind of make it, but it right. can't be like, you know, out of this world. It has to be like something you physically could do.
Mm. Speaking of one and why, so that'll be for next week. But for this week, we did get one email, and that is from our good friend Felix. And Felix wrote in, he said, "Hey, Spoutcast crew, love you guys. Been enjoying the show since day one. My favorite activity to do outside work has been riding my motorcycle up to the mountain. There's not many things out there that can compare to the freedom you get when you ride. Well, maybe skydiving and Ultimate Thursday." Little plug.
What's
there.
Ultimate? Oh, Ultimate Thursday Frisbee.
He said, come and play Ultimate Frisbee with us, and you'll know why it's so much fun. He also said, P.S. I often find myself singing inside the helmet when riding. And
awesome.
Felix, I just wanna let you know something, that you were our only email this week. And because of that, Felix, we are going to give away our second Spoutcast t-shirt. And Felix, you are the winner of our second Spoutcast t-shirt. So we hope you enjoy that. I will pass that out to you the next time I see you.
I just got a motorcycle, like I said. And so I went and did a test run. And right. I don't know what it is, but every time I go out and like do a test run on my motorcycle,
right.
I always see Felix. It's happened. It's happened 3 out of the 5 times that I've gone out, and I literally just like me and my buddy pulled off, and he like comes out in a bathing suit from this pool that was by this property, and he's like, "Hey, what's up?" Really?
The Truman Show.
It's like, yeah.
Well, hey, now you'll see him in his brand new Spoutcast t-shirt. So if you want a Spoutcast t-shirt, make sure next week you email us in with one job that you can do that you don't currently have. Essentially that. One job you'd love to do.
No, it's your dream.
Dream job.
Your dream.
So that's your one and why. And
dream big, you guys.
Dream big. And we will give you a Spoutcast t-shirt if you win. Up next, we'll do some announcements and close out the show. Enjoy some more Thrice. All right, we are back, and once again, remember, one and why for next week is your dream job that you want and why, and make sure to email the spoutpodcast@gmail.com, and Sarah's going to take it away with some announcements.
Thanks for that, Christian.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
For having me. We really don't have too many announcements this week, except email us at thespoutpodcast@gmail.com. Check us out on facebook.com/
Spoutcast.
Check us out on Twitter at The Spoutcast. And you can call us at 321-SPOUT or text message us at the same number. Academy's still going on. You could always jump into that if you're still interested. If you would like to jump into a life group, those are always available also. And that is all I've got for you.
Well, and don't forget to have people email us about how you read, how you're biblically measured.
Oh, yeah. And biblically formed.
Ooh.
Yeah, like a biblical, that's a good Bible plan that works for you and your schedule.
And right. I would say if you don't have one right now, maybe email us challenge.
So what we're assuming is that if our listener doesn't email us in, then we're assuming they don't read their Bible.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. So all 118 of our Facebook likes.
Better get some emails.
Better get some emails.
Boom.
All right. Well, this is The Spout. Kevin, thanks for joining us. We are out.